89 and then mobile monitoring.
Good morning, Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf, listening on the Northern Michigan Link System.
Red 9 KOP mobile.
N9 KOP, KB9 SYU.
KB9 SYU. N9 KOP, good morning, name's Cameron, I'm mobile near McKinley, Michigan here. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Nice to meet you, N9KOP. This is Kilo Bravo 9 Sierra Yankee Uniform, KB9SYU. The name is Ted, Tango Echo Delta, and we are about 45 miles southwest of Chicago. And we were just up a few weeks ago up in Mackinac Island and stayed inland there in Mackinac City and got into one of the repeaters right up there with the HT while we were on a couple days up there with my wife. So we thought we'd link back into it on the All-Star mobile here and just make sure we're getting in. Heard your call, was getting coffee, and wanted to say good morning.
Yeah, very good, Ted. Name here is Cameron. Charlie Alpha Mike at Goromeo, Austin, deliver. And I'm mobile probably 110 miles southeast of Mackinac, a little town called Mayo. I'm on the 146700 repeater. Currently linked to a Northern Michigan Link repeater network, where we've got us linked all over Northern Michigan here. You can just about go from East Coast to West Coast, and actually I can keep getting now, go from East Coast to West Coast and have radio coverage on a linked repeater system here. So, all done through All-Star. So, not very good, good area. I got a short timer on this radio. Hope you enjoyed your vacation there up here in Mackinac. And you're down by Chicago, are you in Illinois, or you're west of Chicago, so yeah, you got to be in Illinois. I was wondering if you're in Indiana or Illinois. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you can go with your name again, I didn't get a chance. It was like in and out a little bit, probably on my side. Yeah, we're in Illinois. We're about 40 miles west of Chicago in Illinois. So, like I said, yeah, we had a fantastic time up there. I've been to Holland, Michigan many a times for baseball and Grand Rapids for baseball. I've been up to White Cloud, but I've never been up into Northern Michigan. It was just absolutely beautiful, beautiful up there. Love it. And up through Cadillac and then up obviously there. We did go up to the Upper Peninsula, my wife and I, up to the falls up there and then up to Superior. So that was really nice because we had one day on a Monday it was rain. So I thought, let's go up to the UP, and then we spent 2 days on back and forth on the island and had a fantastic trip. We rode the bikes all the way around, a lot of biking, hiking, and great food, and really enjoyed our stay up there. Everybody was really, really nice. So it was a great trip.
The name's Cameron. Charlie Alpha Mike Echo Romeo Oscar November Cameron. And yeah, we were just up there, I think last summer. The girlfriend took the kids up there this summer with her family, and unfortunately I had to work, so I didn't get to go. Yeah, we spent a lot of our summer camping. We bought a bumper pole camper this year, and just been out camping and staying busy, that's for sure, between work and camping. My summer's still all gone. It's not crazy to say that we're at the end of October, or at the end of August 30. Before you know it, for us, we'll have snow on the ground. Back to you, kid.
All right. Yeah, I got there. I was having some discussions with some of the people up there, and I said, boy, the winters up here have to be brutal. I know ours are no good in Chicago with all the wind and freezing temperatures and bitter cold and blizzards, but I'm sure the winters up there have to be extremely difficult. And then I was thinking up in the UP, probably the same. So, yeah, but beautiful, beautiful up there. We really enjoyed our stay. Really a lot of nice people we met, and everybody on the island was nice, and I had some really nice meals. And I think one of the gentlemen that I talked to on the repeater with my HT when we were in Mackinac City, I think the repeater was right there, and got in full quieting just on the HT from the parking lot. And I think, if I remember correctly, we had talked on 75 meters in the evening before, so it was kind of interesting. It's a small world. With all the amateur operators, you just never know who you've talked to before. And very impressive linking network up there. So I thought on our way into work, we'd just jump in here and monitor just a little bit. So anyways, Cameron, very nice meeting you. Thanks for coming back to me. I'm just about where I need to be on my work. So you have a great day, great weekend, and maybe we will catch up again. So have a good one. KB9 SYU Mobile will be clear.
Yeah, Ted, good to hear you. Thanks for coming in and giving our system some use here. Have a good day. I'm about 5 minutes off from work myself. KB9 SYU and 9KOP Mobile, McKinley Road, Mile. I'm a BWADET with a broken mic. Or maybe that, and then can't be clear.
W8NWO monitoring. K8FGW monitoring. KB9NN mobile monitoring. KOF8 Fox Truly Whiskey monitoring.
And station it was monitoring, go ahead. Kilo Charlie 8, Charlie Mike Quebec, John.
Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. I was sitting here trying to figure out if I'm going to go out here and carry a patio door that we put up, which is the wrong one. We got to take it down, but I'm having knee surgery next week. So I told my wife, I said, well, I got some wood outside that can plug the hole, pull the window back out, take it over to Myers because they gave us the wrong one, or Menards. So I'm finishing my coffee, and then I'm going to decide to go out there and dig the wood out, pull the siding off, take all the nails back out of the door and put it in the trailer.
Oh, boy. Uninstall an installed window that you just put in. That must be a bummer.
Well, we had to wait for a month for this thing to come in because it's a special order. We got a modular home. So we had to get a smaller one and it had to be specially built. So we never even undid it, you know, with the plastic and all that, until I had four people over here to help me put it in. We unraveled it and found out that the door slides the wrong way. So we had to put it in, take and go over and tell Menards and show them the pictures that we had. Took the lady back over to where we was looking at the one that we were showing the guy, and he wrote it up wrong. So they said, well, yep, it's our mistake. He wrote it up the wrong way. You got the pictures here, and there's no refunding charge or whatever you want to call that thing. So he was hoping to get it before my surgery, but it doesn't look like it. So I guess we're just going to have to do it what we can with a new knee, go out there and crawl up and down a ladder if I don't really want to. But it's going to hurt, but we got to get it done before the winter. Should have done this 20 years ago. Kilo Charlie 8, Charlie Mike Quebec.
Gotcha. So yeah, my buddy, he had a knee replacement. It didn't take him very long to get back on his 2 feet, so it shouldn't, hopefully won't be the same thing for you too. So I think he was laid up for maybe 2.5 to 3 weeks, I think. So that wasn't too bad. And probably even less than that. He was actually walking out of the hospital with the new replacement in. So yeah, they recommend you keep, well, at least his doctor, to don't put a whole lot of pressure on it, but make sure you use it. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, they're going to do something a little different with me. Yeah, they're gonna put a total knee replacement. But since I just got fighting cancer and got that over a year ago, and we got a pacemaker and a bunch of other things and a lot of other things going on with the body. And being the age that I'm turning 79 in a week, they want to, and this knee has been like this for almost 40 years. And we just couldn't do anything because this is the third time around battling with cancer. So anyways, he said that it won't be perfect, but he said it should be 90% straight, but it won't be perfect because of the ligaments and stuff that are already formed the way they are, and they might not stretch the perfect way. But he said, yeah, we would send you home, but he said, I'm going to keep you overnight and just to make sure that nothing's going to happen with what's going on. So that's the plan. We're going to go out there to Alpena. That's where we're going to have all this stuff going on. So we changed all our doctors from downstate. We moved up here in 2000. All our doctors are downstate, and one was in Detroit. That was my heart doctor. So we finally got everybody straight around up here in Alpena. So there we go. We don't have to go as far.
Okay, got it. So... yeah, that's for sure. I'll be make things a little more interesting, that's for sure. So, well, I wish you luck on your knee replacement. I'll keep you in my prayers and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, we're outside. It's a little bit of a humid day out there today up here in the Sioux. So, other than that, I don't have a whole lot on the to-do list for today.
Oh, well, my wife, she's got a cousin that lives up there. I think they're on 8th Street, 8th or 3rd, one of the two. And We go up and visit them every once in a while. We took our motor home, our trailer one time with a friend, and we went to that one a campground. I forget what the name of it is, that big one. Annie's or something like that. We really enjoyed that one up here, but boy, the cost of it. But we'd like to have gone up there. The motorhome sits back here in the back. It's been sitting here for 2 years. Can't do it. We just had to go get license plate for it. So now it's going to sit there probably all winter. And hopefully next year, if everything goes all right, because we just had to put a new roof on. And a lot of things going on over here and being on a fixed income. But we want to try to take a trip out to my daughter's out in Idaho. And we want to go to three spots out there, the Crazy Horse, Devil's Tower, and Mount Rushmore, and then go over to Idaho and see her. So that's what our plans are. Hopefully, if my wife gets in here and keeps trying on that lotto, we might win it and then pay all my bills off and don't worry about it. Hey, we're down here in Lewiston, so just let you know that we're about 40 miles to the southeast of Gaylord. So there you go. KCHCMQ.
Okay, well, very good. So, yep, I know where Annie Osborne parks at. Yeah, it's a great park. It's a busy park, that's for sure. Stays busy all summer long. So, and yeah, I'm sure they got a good price tag on it. But anywho, yeah, it's KE8FGW for ID. But yeah, so, very good. Yeah, I actually been to all those places, and I enjoyed them very much. So, it was only been out that way once, and yeah, maybe one of these days I might get back out there again. So I'm sure, for sure, you'll enjoy yourself in Crazy Horse. Maybe when he finally finishes it up, maybe I'll go out there and see it. So, I'm trying to remember what part they're. I think they're trying to do the horse body or something. I don't remember, but it was a while ago.
Well, they got the head done, they got the arm done with the finger pointing, and well, they're doing trimming up right now. But that's where they're at right now. They're digging the hole that goes underneath the arm and the neck of the horse. So that's where they're starting to work on the bottom part for the of the horse now. So. Yep, it'll take many, many years to get that crazy thing done, and I'll probably never be around to see it done. But hey, my mom and dad were out there a long, long time ago, and they were just still working on the horse, or the head. So they're coming along with it pretty good. You know, it's just people like us that help them out because the government don't, and it's a shame that they don't. But anyways, okay. I'm going to get out of here. I'm finishing my coffee. My cat's looking at me like I'm going to jump over here and sit on your lap and you're going to pet me. And I don't really want that, but I'm going to have to get up and start doing some work out there. So, hey, nice pleasure talking to you. And we'll probably catch you down the road down here on the Mile Road Peter. Of course, I'm on Echo Link, so that's where I'm at. KCHCMQ.
Hey, sir. It was good chatting with you, too, and, yeah, enjoy your day, 7-3. I'm sure you'll hear out here again, so. KE8FGW.
WD8DX, Whiskey Delta 8, Delta X-Ray Mobile, Waters, Michigan.
Delta X-Ray Mobile on Link System. Good morning, Mr. Jeff. Where is Waters? I don't know where that is.
Well, I'm actually a little closer to Grayling now, but Waters is on I-75 just south of Gaylord, and I'm sure you know where that's at.
Ah, QSL. Okay, well, hey, good morning. Hadn't trusted you for a couple days.
Yeah, it's been quite hectic the last couple days, but we got a bunch of stuff done, and today is Road Warrior Day. We were up at Mackinac Bridge yesterday. Got that all done, very happy with that. And today, started out in Gaylord, and now I'm headed to Misaki, or Lake City, is where I'm headed. And we are running down I-75 here, and I was told by Drake they put in this new repeater, and I was able to pick it up just south of Gaylord. I don't know how far north it goes, but like I say, in Waters, I had it almost full scale.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I heard about a new one. I wasn't sure of the location. I thought it was south down Grayling or somewhere down there. I can't confirm any of that.
That is correct. It's supposed to be where the I-75 and 127 split there, just south of Grayling is where it's supposedly located. I don't know much more than that other than the frequency. 14684 is the frequency.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah, I think I heard DYS Ryan talking about it from he was way down in Harrison. Our friends down there were getting into it, so fantastic.
Good to hear. And I'm headed down to Lake City, so we're going to run it as long as we can and see how well it does, see what kind of coverage it has. I was telling Drake today, or yesterday, that I was going to have to take my programming into the house and touch it up a little bit. I want to get this system basically at the top of my channel list. That way, as I'm out driving around, I can flip between them really easy. And being it covers a good portion of where I normally am, it's a nice thing.
Yeah, I like all these linked repeaters, but I'll tell you, it gets a little weird when I've got them all on scan because there's maybe a tenth of a second delay between some of them. So you hear the same word 3 and 4 times. You go, which frequency was that on?
Yeah, I'd be very honest with you. If I was at a home station, I would program in maybe one or two of them that are close enough that I can get into. And then I would only put one of them in scan. I wouldn't, you know, if something happens to one, I'd be able to switch to the other. But, yeah, I wouldn't put them in scan because of just that problem. I limit myself when it comes to the home location.
Okay, well, I just left the Petoskey repeater ID, so Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf. Yeah, you know, my brain can only comprehend about 6 or 7 frequencies at my home QTH to scan. I can't handle more than that.
Yeah, understood. And I'm about the same spot. For the most part, I just leave it on one or two channels. I may have a couple radios going just to listen to the local traffic, and that's about it. You know, if I want to sit down and talk to a few of the others, I may take the radio and change channels or whatever, but it pretty much stays right on the one channel, and just depending on the mood of the day, which one I'm actually running.
Well, my evaluation up here in northern Michigan, there's only about a dozen ham radio operators that are, quote, radioactive. it's a little different when you get down to the big cities.
You might be surprised. I, as much as I've been driving now, granted, it's been a little quiet the last year or so, as I've been more at the shop than I have been on the road. but there are a few simplex frequencies that I listen to. And if I get over towards Alpena, there's a group. There's a group up near Petoskey that don't sit on the regular, like, 14652. And kind of nice as you're out driving around to hear the different groups that are out there. That, and there's a lot of amateurs that will sit and monitor a repeater. I can pick out several repeaters that are that way, that they'll sit and monitor until they actually hear something. They're not actually talking the whole time.
Oh, very true. It's kind of like the GMRS group is kind of like that also. So it's kind of nice to have different groups in different areas. Okay, sir. Well, you know, the big happenings around here is cement trucks are driving in out of my driveway to the development next to me. So I got to keep my eyes open. ACATG, you have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Hi, glad you got back in here with me, and always a pleasure. 73 for now, WDATX Mobile, clear and listening.
KO6OPI, listening.
I didn't quite catch who that was. This is Whiskey Delta 8 Delta X-ray Mobile. Good morning.
Kilo Oscar 6 Oscar Papa India.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is Whiskey Delta 8 Delta X-ray WD8DX. Name is Jeff, and we're actually going across, what is this? This is 55 headed towards Lake City. How you doing?
Yeah, good. I'm at NACNA.
Sorry, I missed that. What's that again?
I'm at NACNA.
Cool, Mackinac. Okay. Said it kind of quick and kind of, I missed it a little bit of it. Well, greetings, and we're a little ways away from each other. This is a pretty nice little link system they got set up, and I'm excited to work down here and testing out this repeater located near Grayling, so.
Yeah, it's, they gave me a tour of the ship here.
Oh, very good. So you vacationing here or are you a local?
Yeah, we're just, we're kind of, vacationing here. We got a sailboat, and yeah, we sailed here.
Well, very good, very good. Well, welcome, and, yeah, I actually live over by the Traverse City area, and like I said, I'm just out driving around doing work, so I, do a lot of Motorola radio work, and, among other things. So that's today's job, is we're out, put in a radio this morning, and now I'm going to go work on a camera system in a police car. So, well, I'm going to get off here, but I heard you in there, wanted to say good morning, and welcome to the system, and glad to hear you in there. Stay radioactive. WD8BX Mobile, we'll say 73 for now.
806 OPI.
ACMH Mobile.
Good morning, Mr. Drake. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf.
Hey, Mr. Jim, how are you doing up there? ACMH Mobile.
I was pleasantly surprised to see that you have a web domain. That's kind of neat.
Go to, yeah, if you go to anydmh.com, there's a lot more goodies.
Well, I never knew that, so you gave me something to investigate this week. And a good job with that one other APRS app.
Yeah, I noticed that APRSIS, the data parsing broke. It used to work, and now it doesn't. So I'll have to look at that, because it's not even, I mean, it pulls the position data, but everything else, it just, nope.
Okay, well, you asked me to investigate and give feedback. I diligently did that, if that's okay.
No, that's great. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I need, I got to know what it's doing well and what it doesn't do well and what it should do. And you gave me all of those things, so that's good.
All right, sir. Well, I'm kind of tied up here. I'm watching cement trucks deliver to my next-door neighbor's house. So Alpha Charlie, Delta Golf. Hey, 7-3, sir, and thanks.
Ooh, sounds interesting. Any DMH mobile.
Go ahead.
Hey, Brad, how do you read me? I'm in off Sheboygan Theater, just north of St. Ignace.
Sounds fine.
Okay, I just wondered. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okie dokie. KEAFKW.
Hey, Drake, good afternoon. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. You know, outside is kind of sad, but, you know, that's why I'm inside.
Well, up here it's just a little bit, a lot cloudy. I don't think we're supposed to have any rain until later today, so I'm actually getting outside right now for a little bit. But yeah, this weekend is going to be pretty dismal, it looks like.
I'm honestly okay with that. We kind of need the rain. It's been a while. But maybe it'll be... You know what, I'm going to use it as a learning experience for my cat, so he stops begging to go outside every waking second of the day.
Yeah, for sure we could use that rain. The woods are so dry, and I'm worried that we could have some problems up here, especially with, you know, all the stuff that's down, and now had the whole season of being dried out from the ice storm. It's a lot of fuel on the forest floor right now, so yeah, some rain would be great. And you know what? You just need to give those cats the proper motivation of who's boss.
Hi, guys. WTABX.
Oh, Jeff here.
KCHHD, listening.
We got a whole bunch of
people. Wow, sounds like
here.
We got a party going on. I'm going to have to drop out of it, though, because I'm almost at my destination. K8DCW.
Figures. Anyway, all right, we have a good one. Jeff, go ahead, and then the other guy.
I'd like to stay for a short. I just wanted to let you know that
W84 is doing well. I am between Lake City and 131 headed back to Traverse, and that's where I'm on. So it's about half scale where I'm at, and it's fluctuating all over, so I don't guarantee what's happening on my on your end. But it's doing good, WDADX Mobile.
Actually, we can hear you great. I mean, a little bit of flutter, but yeah, 100% copy, not a problem at all.
KCHST here. By the way, hey Drake, be sure to wish KEFJW a happy birthday. Today is his 40th.
Ah, so that means you got to get him 40 beers.
Yeah, I ordered over to his house for asking this morning about it.
Ah, that's funny. Oh, that's good. If I hear him, I'll rattle his chain a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Drake. I'll talk to you later. KC8HHT clear.
Catch you later. KC8HHT at 8 damage.
ADP9NN mobile monitoring.
KE8FGW, I'm monitoring.
KE8FGW, W8NWO. Still out there, Brad?
Hi-yo down there. How's everything going? KE8FGW.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. We're actually, we were up your way today. Kind of a long story, but we're up here. We're camping at Great State Park, but we ended up going up to the Sioux for a little while this afternoon, watch some boats go through the locks.
Oh, hey, very good. Yeah.
Last night with, in-laws, and they spent the day with us, and then we actually just dropped them off at their camper. We're going to head to the store for a little bit and then go back and camp with them tonight, and then I've got to head back home first thing in the morning tomorrow for a funeral, unfortunately.
Ah, okay. Well, at least you got to spend some time up here. Yeah, we're just going to head out to the Pure Country for dinner and head back home. So it's just the wife and I. All my three girls are with the grandparents for they'll be back tomorrow sometime, so they took them for a couple nights, so that's nice. So anyways, yeah, we're not doing a whole lot.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, your town treated us well. We kind of bummed around and went to a couple resale shops just for fun. Ended up buying a nail gun. And my wife got a couple things. My son got a toy. Brother-in-law got some CDs. So. But we watched the cruise ship go through the locks and then watched another freighter come in. So spent some time in the visitor center there. Yeah, touristy stuff. Well, I'm almost at the grocery store. I'm going to stop at Family Fair and pick up some things and head back to camp. So, I'm going to stay at 73, but I just wanted to give you a shout. W8NWO.
Well, very good. So, yeah, too bad you're not going to be here tomorrow because tomorrow's they're doing like, I don't know, what's it called?
Psyduck sale.
So, there's going to be a whole bunch of people selling stuff out in front of, out by the Valley Camp ship there, and where is it? Sioux tour boat, the famous Sioux Lox tour boat ships are, yeah, and you. So yeah, they're doing that tomorrow. That's going to be going on all day, so 9 to 4 apparently. So yeah. Anyway, yeah. Catch you later, and yeah, thanks for saying hi. K-E-8-F-J-W.
Sounds good. Thanks for the chat. W-8-N-W-O.
KE8OHG, KE8OHG, KC8AOL calling. KC8AOL clear.
Hi, Andy. You're sounding good.
KCDOL, NIKOP Mobile.
Hey, mister. How are you? Long time.
Yeah, absolutely. You off on the new grailing repair?
Yes, sir. Being it's the one closest to me. Absolutely, yeah. It seems to be working well from
yeah,
my house.
Yeah, David found him a good spot there. So, well, hey, I'm pulling into the shop. I got to grab a wrecker and go pull somebody out of the two track. So, good hearing you. KCAOL, and then KOP Mobile.
I asked Q, so that last conversation there was in and out, full strength, but in and out, so I don't know, maybe you're between widgets or something. Anyway, 73-NIKOP, KC8AOL.
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear me here, but I'm just pulling into the shop here. I got to grab a flatbed or a wrecker and head down and do a two-track and pull somebody out. Have a good afternoon, KC8AOL, and my KOP Mobile. Smile.
All right, 73. KC8AOL, clear.
And I'm KOP Mobile.
KACW testing. DCW testing.
Isn't it past your bedtime?
You know, usually, but it's Friday night. Come on.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you're retired, it doesn't matter.
KOCCW, W8RPM, how copy?
A little noisy. Maybe 70% quieting.
All right, I'm in my basement playing with two different radios, and one of them's an HT, so that might be why.
I figured you were going to say that. I mean, you're 100% copy, but there's a noticeable switch there. What about me?
I can hear your TV in the background.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. This is a camper radio. It's actually the IC820, which is the all-mode VNU. So this is probably 45 watts and a big old mobile NMO antenna. It's just an enormous thing with three loading coils. The thing's probably 4.5 feet long. And the SWR is almost flat. It's not as flat as the dual band Larson, which is what really is supposed to live up there, because I can drive down the road with it on, but I just stumbled across this thing not being used and figured out what the heck. I mean, it is twice the size of that 270 Larson, so. And I'm on the 7.4, so, I mean, it ought to be, you know, dead nuts full quieting. Yeah, gut bells on in the background, and it's, you know, this is about, you know, 240 square feet in here, so, with a desk mic, so it doesn't surprise me. W8RPM.
All right, just switched over to my crossband repeat to get on my base station. That's cool. Are you camping somewhere nearby, or are you just set up in your backyard hanging out in the camper because you're in the doghouse?
No, I actually had the dogs with me until just a few minutes ago. They wanted to go in. Yeah, I'm just in my own driveway. We had talked about doing something, but she's got a commitment tomorrow almost all day. And it was, do we take the camper and go? Do we get a dog sitter and get a room? And I'm like, you know what? No, I'll just stay home with the dogs. Go do your thing. And yeah, you're back to 100% full quieting, obviously. No, I just, you know, I come hang out here and play HF because I got an antenna hooked up and I currently don't in the house yet. So sitting here on 40 listening to a bunch of Southerners with their Southern dolls down in Louisiana.
Oh, right on. Very cool. You know, one of the reasons I don't go out and get my general is because then I'd have to spend more money on equipment so that I could play on HF.
Well, you can play on HF now just on 10 meters and CW here and there, but then 10's been kind of open. 10 and 6 have both had some hellacious openings. You can get on 6, too.
Yeah, but same problem, I guess. I don't have the gear and don't really want to spend the money on it yet, but it's on my list of things to do.
Well, that's good. When you start down that path, remind me, and I'll send you a study partner.
Ah, right on. I have been thinking about you recently. We've been looking at pretty seriously buying a Class B motorhome. Probably not immediately right away, but probably in the next year or so, maybe, and trying to figure out ways to, you know, mount antennas on it and stuff. But I think the unit that we're looking at is, you know, a Dodge Ram body that has a steel roof on it, so it may not be as complicated as I think. I don't think it's like a full fiberglass back end. so we might be in good shape with that to mount just a standard mag mount on the top like I have going on now with my daily driver, and just from there, just routing cables through the body of the thing.
Well, on a newer unit, that's not as easy as it sounds because you're messing with the insulation and the weatherproofing and the roof membrane and all that stuff, but yeah, we can talk at greater length. I have a little bit of a prejudice against one-piece units. They're not that practical, and I've talked to a lot of people in parks that use them, and it makes me glad that I have a pull behind. There are some distinct advantages, but there are some distinct disadvantages, too. But as far as radios go, I only have one piece of advice, and that is be sure that you buy one with a ladder, because that ladder is just the most universal mounting point. And in my case, I was all in a tizzy over how I was going to do that, and I have an outdoor shower, and my outdoor shower is right next to my ladder. And it's a weatherproof locking hatch with a key, and there's a ton of room in there besides the faucet. You know, there's a hot and cold running water faucet with a hose connection. And there's a ton of room in that cabinet. And I just drilled a bunch of holes and put a bunch of, you know, PL-258 double females in there. Now, I'm never going to use the thing while it's in motion, so I'll have to send you a picture outside too, but I'm super happy with the way it came out. And I kind of tore my hair out, you know, for a number, you know, well, we just got this one in October of last year. But I tore my hair out with my 24-footer. I didn't have an outdoor shower in this thing. Between the ladder and the outdoor shower, problem solved.
Yeah, all good advice. I think what we've determined, number one, I do not want to tow something because I don't have a tow vehicle, so I don't want to have the expense to go out and buy a tow vehicle. I don't want to be one of those guys that spends 50 grand on a trailer and then 80 grand on a truck to pull it. And the type of camping that we intend to do really suits itself to a self-contained unit. You know, for boondocking, off-grid, stuff like that. And the unit that I think we've settled on actually has a port already applied on the roof where you can snake cables up through it, and you don't have to make roof penetrations. So all of that's good. Oh, and by the way, it does have a ladder, and the shower bathroom, the wet shower, or wet bath as they call it, is in the rear of the vehicle. If you wanted to, you can pop the doors open, throw up a supplied curtain rod, and squibbly-doo, you have an outdoor shower. Pretty cool.
So, yeah, there definitely are some advantages to a one-piece for boondocking. The problem is that those tend to not be all-wheel drive. If you get to the all-wheel drive ones, you're really talking a bunch of money, to where you'd probably be further ahead doing 50 and 50 with a tow vehicle and a tow behind. But you can get all of that stuff with, you know, high clearance packages, winter insulation packages, skid plates. You know, there's nothing that hasn't been thought of already. So, just make sure you're doing your research as far and not necessarily looking at solely the dollars. You know, there's some really nice stuff out there and some really rugged stuff, and you'd really be surprised as to who makes some of it. I mean, Mercedes, the Mercedes chassis are just the cat's ass, man. And some of the diesels, you know, I'm not a Mopar fan. But like the Ford F-350 chassis, or even the GM Chevy, you know, with the Duramax, the either the 6.6 gas or the 6.7 diesel, there's lots of ways to go. But that is a big investment. You know, even this, buying this used, you know, I mean, we got the deal of a lifetime. But, you know, I've certainly got less in the truck and the camper than most people would. You know, we couldn't have bought this camper new, and we would have spent more money. You know, I mean, I got a $32,000 truck and an $8,000 camper.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, I've kind of run the traps on all those things you just mentioned. The only problem with the Mercedes vans is that they're not very space efficient in the rear area. So you have a lot of compromises with your available space, which on a Class B is a big consideration. Yeah, and I'm not much of a Mopar fan myself, but what I'm seeing about those Ram ProMasters is they're actually pretty good. The engine is solid. There's tons of them out there. There's tons of spare parts readily available. Anybody can work on them, yada, yada, yada. And then as far as, you know, going with something that's off-road capable, I mean, I used to have a Jeep that was all set up for overlanding, had a rooftop tent on it. I could literally take that thing anywhere. And what I found is when I went camping with it, I really didn't utilize the full capabilities of it. I didn't go to places like Drummond Island to go camping. I went to Drummond Island to go wheeling, but I realized I really didn't need all that capability. Most of the camping I was doing was just down a two-track road. So, you know, a Class B that's maneuverable and able to get into tighter spots and still park in regular parking spaces at grocery stores and street parking and things like that, I think is more our speed. And you know what? I might throw a lift kit and a couple of plates on it to protect the generator and other components, but I don't plan on taking it down the Hell's Revenge to trail in Utah or anything like that. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
You know, you mentioned the roof access, and I don't know if those come with factory solar or if that's what that's about, is for solar. It's funny, I'm sitting here on 40. I just threw in a couple comments, and the HF gets into the controller for the fridge and the freezer and confuses it to where I got to turn it off for a second and turn it back on because it can't decide. The RF gets in it, and it can't decide if it wants to be on electric or if it wants to be on propane. So it sits here blinking, telling me that it's confused, and I got to turn it off and reboot it. It's kind of funny. I sent you a picture, by the way.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. Man, there's a lot going on there. Very cool rig setup you got there. Way more capability than I can comprehend at this point in my radio career. Oh, and one other thing. Yeah, we are not going to make the mistake of buying a new unit and driving it off the lot and taking, you know, a 30% hit on depreciation right away. I think there's a lot of great deals out there on some used equipment, and I've been doing some initial searches and been pretty pleased at what I've been able to find so far. So, yeah, I think we're in a good position, and we're not making a hasty decision. We got a while to think about it yet, so I think it's all going to work out well.
W8RPM. Well, if it's just the two of you. You know, it's just the two of you, and I don't know if there's any four-leggers involved. But, yeah, that could work out very well, especially if you're, you know, going on the long haul, going to Florida to see the kid, or, you know, however that all works. Radio-wise, I mean, I have a couple more things to do here. I want to put my All-Star. I have two mobile radio-based All-Star notes that are built on Maxtrax, and I want to put one of those in here. I'm just going to hang it off this bottom shelf. So if you're looking at that picture, it's my Elinco, the SR8T, 10 through 160. Very basic HF, no real bells and whistles, you know. The most basic of DSP and some memories. And tuner, it doesn't have a built-in tuner, but I have the matching tuner mounted where on the ladder. So, you know, it's basically, as long as I give it more than I think it's, I know 90 feet of wire will tune even 160. Usually I give it about 130 or so. But that's on that main shelf on the left. In the middle is an IC820, which is the all-mode V&U. To the right of that is my 7250, which is the dual-band Fusion. Below it is the 621, which is a dual-band V and 220. And then next to that is going to be the All-Star node hanging on a max track. I'm not sure if it's going to be the VHF-1 or the UHF-1. I have a Pro 2006. I have two of them, so I'm probably going to put one of those in here. And then down on that bottom shelf is the 40-amp MFJ power supply and five drop-in chargers for five separate portables. And all that stuff is dedicated here. You know, none of it has to come out in the winter. None of it has to go anywhere else. It's all dedicated, staying put. Oh, and, you know, the roof access, I'll bet that's just set up for solar, right? It's just for adding on solar.
I was following along, looking at the picture as you were describing everything to me. That's pretty cool. Man, you got all the bases covered. Yeah, so the unit we're looking at does have solar from the factory, but it has this plastic box on the roof that is over a factory-provided roof access point that's all sealed up. And inside, in the cabinetry, there's a port that accesses that plastic box. So you take your ladder and climb up on the roof, and you drill a hole in the side of that plastic box for whatever cable that you need to come out of it. And that way you know, utilize that factory access point, and you don't have to drill additional holes, and you just silicone up or you know, grommet your wire that you drill the hole through on that plastic box to your antenna, and you're good to go. The solar panels are, you know, factory installed and are already run into the house batteries and all of that. So it's a pretty slick setup, and they've been doing that for a number of years. So we don't have to worry about, are we looking at a unit that doesn't have it that we have to retrofit, yada, yada, yada. So it seems like it's pretty capable. But again, there's more work to be done on running all the traps on whether it meets all of our needs or if there's something better out there.
So what brand, what size? And you got to be careful. I think you said generator, so you know you're probably going to have something kind of small and not have to rely on the solar. But be careful, because those solar controllers are just known for being super, super noisy and dirty. So, you know, I don't know if they have much effect on you on V&U, but if you ever get on HF, man, you know. And the problem that I know some people have had is that they had to retrofit to turn them off because, you know, they're kind of wired in, and whenever your system's on and active, it's on and active. And the charging controllers and the inverters tend to be, you know, kind of low-end in the campers. They're not top of the line. A lot of people do switch them out and make progress and, you know, solve some of their noise and RFI problems that way. But, you know, and I hear you, absolutely hear you about the depreciation. It would be nice to get something new enough where your drivetrain still got some warranty. But, you know, it's not a gotta-have, you know. Those things, people don't drive them much. There's lots of stuff out there that's, you know, 3 and 4 years old that's still got, you know, 15, 20, 30,000 miles on it. I mean, they're engine-wise and drivetrain-wise, they're not even broken in. The only thing I will tell you, and, you know, again, dealer, private owner, buy an aftermarket warranty, all that stuff, stay away from General RV. Oh, my God, what a horrible reputation they have.
Yeah, copy that. Good to know on the electronics and those things. Something I hadn't considered. I'll think about that a little bit more. Yeah, we're looking at probably a Winnebago Travato is what it's called. It's a 21-foot Class B. You know, sleeps too. It's got a wet bath in the back, a nice little galley kitchen, refrigerator and a two-burner propane cooktop. And the propane is only used for the cooktop. The generator and the heating system run off of gasoline from the drive tank. So that is a very cool option, in my opinion. And my understanding is that that Onan generator running off of gasoline is actually very, very efficient. And you don't necessarily have to worry too much about, you know, drying out your fuel tank for your vehicle. But spot on. It's exactly what I've been looking at. Something that's 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, has 20 or 30,000 miles on it. Mom and Pop bought it, took it on a couple of cross-country trips, and they're done with it now, and they want to pedal it. And they're probably crying at the price that they can get for the thing. So that is kind of our strategy on that. K8BCW.
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm certainly no expert on motorhomes. We've seen some that we really liked, but for us, it's not that practical. And if you're doing campground camping, you know, you want to go get a gallon of milk or you want to go get a pizza, you know, it just, now you're unhooking stuff and it's just, you know, you can make both arguments. You know, you can certainly do things with a self-contained, be more nimble, be more responsive that I can't do, you know, with a tow behind. But I can unhook my tow behind and have, you know, a normal day trip or a number of day trips or, you know, and still have kind of a base camp that's set up. You know, again, everything's a trade-off. The other thing I will say from experience, you know, you look at a 21, a 22, and you go look at a 24, the difference in price is negligible, and that extra couple feet, you know, it's just amazing what it'll get you. So the generator, I have a 4,500 or a 4,700 dual fuel. It's never been run on gasoline, and I hope to never do it because that way I don't have to worry about carbs getting gunked up or anything. But you will get more output running it on gasoline. You know, it's the BTU rating per whatever measurement unit of gas versus whatever measurement unit of propane. You know, it's 4,500 continuous, I think 52 or 53 surge, and that's on gasoline. On propane, you're only getting, I think, 4,000, maybe 41. So lots of things to think about. But, yeah, that I look forward to that for you, and I can envision even doing some meetups somewhere. We've had a lot of fun with my daughter. You know, they actually had, well, we had our 24-foot. They borrowed it a couple times, and next thing I know, they're buying a 27. Which is why we had to go buy the 31.
Ah, that's funny. Yeah, we're not real big on, like, sticking around in a campground. We're more of the type that get up and move every day. We go places. Let's go check this out here. Let's go check that out there. And we'll find a place to sleep tonight. And that might be, you know, just a drive-in campground where there are some services, or it might be, hey, you know what, let's go out on some BLM land and boondock for the night down a dirt road somewhere. And I wouldn't put it out of the question, too, depending on where we're at in the country at the time, is we can pop up and, you know, spend the night in a Walmart parking lot or a rest area that allows it in some of the western states. So those are all flexible things that kind of suit our style of camping a little bit more. But that being said, it also has the capability to be, you know, fully hooked up, and you get all the amenities that come along with that too. So we would probably do some of that. But yeah, you're spot on about, you know, once you're all connected and hooked up and set up, you're kind of stuck there unless you have something else to get you around. And I'm not going to be that guy that has a giant motorhome that pulls a vehicle behind him for that purpose. It's just not the way that I'm going to roll. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's trade-offs both ways. I've thought long and hard about this for a long time, and I think this is the option that's going to suit our style a little bit better.
You know, that something else could be a pair of e-bikes, you know. They're small enough to fit on a bike rack now. And that, you know, that can give you, especially if you get an all-terrain something or a fat tire something, you know, dual purpose. You can go play out in the boonies and you can still, you know, take it to go get a pizza or, you know, go to a restaurant or whatever. I'm surprised how many of those type of opportunities are around here. You know, there's a lot of primitive or rustic national forest campgrounds all over here, all around here, down through Oscoda, Huron Valley National Forest, tons of stuff in the UP. It's funny, we went two tracking a couple summers ago, and we had the small camper, and we were staying in just outside of Hessel, around Hessel and Cedarville. Waterfront campground, waterfront sites by the Lachino Islands, with a couple, you know, three or four of us. There were four different, you know, people in the group, four separate rigs, and you know, everybody had a four-wheel drive pickup, and you know, I mean, mine was not aggressive, but there's lots of two tracks back in there where you need a pickup. You don't necessarily need the four-wheel drive, but you need a pickup, and we went and did a lot of that over a couple of different days. And I mean, I had been to Drummond for work, but I'd never been there to play. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, 100%. I've been, you know, exploring all of those little national forest and state forest campgrounds. And what's really cool is in a lot of the state forests, you'll go down a two-track and you'll find an old campground that is no longer maintained by the state. And they try to close them off, but there's always a way to get back into them for dispersed camping, which is pretty cool. So yeah, there's a lot of that stuff out there, and that's my jam. I really like that stuff. But yeah, Drummond Island, when I had my Jeep, we used to go over there wheeling and got into some stuff that was pretty darn serious over there, and had a ton of fun. We would stay at the resort there and just kind of rent a condo for a weekend and just go wheeling for the weekend with friends, and it was super fun. But yeah, that's a cool area over there. We like it. There's always more to be explored. You know, the UP is one of my favorite areas, and I found some spots off the beaten track that are just phenomenal. You know, camping out right on Lake Superior in a pine plantation. Tip of the Keweenaw Peninsula, High Rock Bay, all that kind of stuff. Just very, very cool. And most people don't know about it and can't get back to it because they just don't have the equipment.
Getting to it's one thing, getting out is another. And those, the diehard Jeep guys, you know, they kind of crack me up. Because, you know, Jeeps don't have the best reputation as far as durability, and seems like their stuff breaks, you know. It reliably breaks and consistently breaks. It's kind of weird. But, you know, if that's what you're into, I mean, I've got a couple of friends that have got the CJs and the Wranglers and, you know, the little small wheelbase sort of stuff, you know, which is kind of cool. My niece, her high school vehicle was, I think it was a Wagoneer. It was red. She called it Big Red. It went to 340,000 miles, original engine, original trans. Went through a couple of clutches, you know, a little bit of body rust, but man, that thing didn't know her thing. And she, like I said, she drove it in high school. She had it in the Army when she was down in Texas, and she ended up with it down living in Jack's, and just recently got rid of it, you know. I mean, and it's, she's no kid, you know. She's retired from the Army now, and working in a civilian job, so it's probably off the top of my head 12-15 years younger than me. So that Jeep certainly paid for itself.
Yeah, that's the thing about Jeeps. They went through different changes in ownership, whether it was AMC or Chrysler Fiat or some of the others in between, and there were varying levels of quality. in their builds and reputations. And, you know, what you just described was one of the good moments in Jeep's history where those things would just, were bulletproof and would run forever. And the one that I had was later on, and it was great, but I think the person I sold it to ended up having some problems with it that were typical of that, you know, that Chrysler powertrain that would happen shortly after the warranty expired. So it is what it is.
I guess it comes down to preference, you know, and how the problem that I've noticed with Jeeps is, you know, even the people that don't off-road them, you know, especially the newer ones, and yeah, I hear you about the ownership thing. It's, it, you know, Harley, you know, bowling lanes went from Brunswick to AMF to all this stuff, you know, same with Harley. There's good years and bad years, you know. I have a real close connection to that company. I'll fill you in next time I see you. But I've never owned one. I've ridden a few of them. I got a buddy who's got a really, really nice Altra. And one day I want one just to say I had one. The problem is, you know, riding rice your whole life, it spoils you. You know, I mean, they're quiet. They don't brake. They don't leak oil. They tend to hold their value. I mean, they don't appreciate like certain Harleys will, but, you know, I'm not necessarily a Goldwing guy, but, you know, I had a Venture Royale was the last bike I owned, and I'm itching to buy one up here, man. Just because, and this time of year, especially between now and snow, oh my God, I got to be careful, because sooner or later I'm going to do it, and I'm going to just give in.
Yeah, I never had the motorcycle bug, and the more that I see the way that motorcycles are treated on the road, the less I want to be involved in it. But, yeah, if that's your jam, I know what you mean. This upcoming season is the best absolute time to be out and about. We're entering my favorite time of year, so really looking forward to the fall. I've got some backpacking trips and some hunting trips coming up. It's going to be another phenomenal season ender. KABCW.
W8BARK. Yeah, I'm actually sitting here working, sort of, kind of. I've got a couple people looking for vacant land, hunting land, that kind of stuff. And I was actually sitting reading the Woods and Water news that came today, and there's a couple of things in there that caught my eye that might fit the goal. There's all kinds of issues up here with the MLS and the way they work and how they don't data share and how you gotta belong to 20 of them to get the info from 20 of them because only 2 of the 20 data share. So anyhow, I found some stuff and I'm sitting here sending emails, actually sort of trying to work. And sitting here contemplating, you know, okay, what do I install next in this shelf unit of mine? Where does it go and all that jazz, you know? I'm pretty happy with the way it turned out. I did it right on the back. I've got 2 binding post power strips, one for positive, one for ground. And I got a 40-amp power supply that'll run everything all at once. You know, this 100-watt rig only draws 21, 22 amps on transmit, so. But, don't know what the weather's supposed to be like this weekend. I guess it's supposed to be better. Talked to my daughter today. She's due 2 weeks from today, so that's going to mess up my schedule. I'll end up making a downstate trip once that all comes to a head. And first one, is it going to be early? Is it going to be late? You know? So everything's sort of revolving around that.
Well, exciting times. I wish that everything goes as smoothly as can be expected. Congratulations early here.
Yeah, it's fun. We're all excited. and everything's going really well, so I don't want to jinx it. She's had just a textbook pregnancy, no issues at all, and she feels great. Not, you know, she's gained 6 pounds, and that's just in the last couple of weeks. So we're hoping it just continues down that easy path. And if it does, you know, it just means that the next one will be a hellion, and she'll end up on bed rest or something, but hopefully the rest of this goes easily. So, all right, sir. Well, I'm glad I caught you. I'll be listening here for a while, but I got to pound out a few emails and see how long past the 11 o'clock news I can make it tonight. That's kind of the new goal. You know, we used to go out at 11:30, and now we're going to bed at 11:30. It's like, how did this happen? All right, listening for a final, and I'll be around. W8RPM.
Yeah, great catching you tonight, Ron. Have a good one. We will catch up with you another time. K8BCW.